ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अर्जुन उवाच दाने ऋषिकेश तवा प्रकीर्त्या सगात्र हृष्यात्यनुराजते च रक्षांसि पिथानिति शोद्रवन्ति सर्वे नमस्यन्ति च सिद्धसङ्गा।
और ऋषिकेश, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name. O Rishikesh, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became an enlightened devotee of the Supreme Lord. He admitted that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship for the devotees and the destroyer of the undesirables. Actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord. The demigods took pleasure, but others who were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of their natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all.
We are reading this afternoon from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11. Which describes Arjuna's darshan of the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord. Arjuna was the beloved friend of Lord Sri Krishna. It is described in the Mahabharata as well as the Srimad Bhagavatam, the intimate relationship in the Sakya Ras that he enjoyed with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. It describes in one place how Arjuna, due to a certain arrangement, he made a particular vow along with his brothers. You know, they were all married to Draupadi. Arjuna won the hand of Draupadi at the time of the Swayamvara by shooting the arrow through the eye of the fish while only looking through a reflection in water. So when he brought Draupadi home, he was very proud to inform his mother, "Mother, I have brought something very nice." Kunti, she told Arjuna, before even knowing what the nice gift was, that, "You know, Arjuna, I have always trained you brothers to be non-envious of one another, and whatever you have, you should always share with your brothers." So based on the divine instruction of his mother, all of the five Pandavas accepted Draupadi's hand in marriage. Now it came to pass that they made an agreement that for 1 year at a time, each of the five Pandavas would get to spend time alone with Draupadi, and none of the other brothers would go into the room at that time. Now one time, a certain crisis took place, and Arjuna entered into the room of Maharaj Yudhisthira while he was sitting with Draupadi. And he was feeling very bad. Ah, I have broken our vow. Now I must go to the forest and live as a mendicant for many years. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, No. It was an innocent mistake. It was an emergency situation. There's no need for you to do like this. You are forgiven, it is forgotten. But Arjuna was a man of such honor. He said, No, I must go. Arjuna was a man of great integrity. Today, even the biggest mistakes we make, we like to cover over and try to blame somebody else, or try to justify how really it isn't so bad. Isn't that the way we all are? But here was an innocent mistake, completely unintentional. But Arjuna took his promise so seriously, so gravely, that he said, I must go, even though everyone else was discouraging him. So during that time, he came to Dwarka in the robe of a mendicant, a sadhu. And there Lord Sri Krishna invited the sadhu for prasad. And across the table from Lord Sri Krishna was Krishna's beloved sister Subhadra. And when Arjuna and Subhadra looked at one another, a very spiritual love awakened between them. And Arjuna was thinking, I should marry this Subhadra. And Subhadra was thinking, I should marry this Arjuna. But Balaram, the eldest brother of the family, he was already arranging her to marry someone else. So Arjuna knew this would not be possible. Of course, sadhus are not supposed to be having these types of relationships with one young girls anyway. So with the permission of Krishna, because Krishna knew everything, he stole Subhadra away. And when Balaram found out, what? This bogus sadhu? He kidnapped my sister. Then they said, this is not an ordinary sadhu, this is Arjuna. Then he must be killed. He has taken my sister. And Krishna, he came to Arjuna's defense. Actually, Balaram, Subhadra likes Arjuna. And Arjuna likes Subhadra. You should just allow it to happen. And of course, Vasudeva and Devaki also gave their blessings. So in this way, Krishna intermingled and pacified Balaramji. And Krishna became very intimate in regard to this nice relationship between his sister and Arjuna. It is described in Dwarka, sometimes Krishna and Arjuna would lay in bed together and talk. Sometimes they would eat, they would dine at the same table together. Sometimes they would joke together. Just as Krishna helped Arjuna get his wife, Subhadra, similarly Arjuna helped Krishna get one of his wives. One day when they were in the forest together, they came to the Jamuna, and the goddess of the Jamuna, Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god, Vibhiswan, she approached Arjuna. She was very beautiful and very shy. And she said to Arjuna that, Lord Krishna, I have been doing penances and austerities for many, many years to get him as my husband. I cannot approach Krishna directly. He is very great, but you are his friend. I know whatever you ask him, he will do. So will you ask him if he will kindly accept my hand in marriage? So Arjuna approached Lord Sri Krishna. This beautiful goddess, Kalindi, she is very pure devotee. She has been doing great penance to accept you as husband. Will you kindly accept her? And Krishna, how can I refuse Arjuna's request? So he accepted Kalindi and his wife.
So you can see by these two transcendental transactions, they are getting wives for one another. How intimate of friends they were. They were not, Arjuna was not an ordinary living being. He was the best friend of Krishna. Arjuna and Uddhava, in all of Dwarka, they had very special relationship with Lord Krishna. Arjuna considered himself the eternal servant of Krishna. But on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna accepted the position of Arjuna's chariot driver. A very menial position. In India, many people, they have drivers for their cars, chauffeurs. You know how you treat a chauffeur? You're supposed to be very kind and nice to him. But really, you're just telling him, go here, go there, wait. Huh? And the chauffeur, he has to take a little tiffin and eat prasad while you're doing your, having a nice time, he's sitting in the car. Huh? This is the life of a driver. Pretty menial job. Krishna, the supreme controller, who is worshipped by all the yogis, all these sadhus, who is worshipped by all the demigods, who is worshipped by the goddess of fortune herself, in Vaikuntha, he is accepting the service of Arjuna's driver. Arjuna is telling him, you go here, you go there. And Krishna is very obediently taking the chariot to the various places in the battlefield. While Arjuna was doing the heroic, famous work of shooting his arrows with his mighty Gandiva bow, Krishna would do the menial task of brushing the horses and watering them. Huh? This is the relationship that Krishna had with Arjuna. It was the relationship of sakyaras, intimate friendship. Arjuna was a paramhamsa. He was above the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. All of us, we have so many material attachments. We have so many distractions taking our minds away from the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, we must follow very strict principles. We must worship the deity. We must chant the holy names. We must associate with sadhus. But Arjuna was already on that platform of pure love. So you see, with this intimate relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, there was no need for Arjuna to see this ghastly universal form of the Lord. But he asked to see this form from Krishna just for the sake of all living beings in the future. Because Arjuna knew that Krishna, he was appearing like an ordinary man. Huh? Tonight, this month is the month of Damodar. It is when we celebrate, especially Krishna in his form of a baby, being bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda. Krishna's baby pastimes seem very ordinary. Bhagavan, the supreme creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all that exists. What is he doing? In Vraja Loka, Lord Sri Krishna is a small child doing all mischief. Huh? Sometimes many of you are parents. In the Grihastha Ashram, you have young children. You know how mischievous children can be? Well, Krishna was the most mischievous of all children. He and his friends, when they were very young, they would terrorize the neighborhood of Goloka, of Gokula. Huh? They would somehow or other sneak into the houses of the gopis. Sometimes they would break into the houses of the gopis. And they would steal all butter and yogurt. And they would make a complete mess of the house. They would break the pots. They would eat all butter, yogurt. After they would fill their bellies as much as they could, they would start to feed the remainder to the monkeys. And after the monkeys were fully satisfied, they would take the butter and they would throw it on the ground and throw it on the walls and throw it everywhere, saying, "This yogurt butter is useless. Even monkeys don't like it." The gopis, they would complain to Mother Yashoda, "This is what your son is doing. Sometimes we hide our butter and yogurt. Sometimes we keep all no light and in the and we hide it. But your son, Krishna, it seems like the jewels of his body lights up all directions and he finds it wherever we hide it. Sometimes we put it in ropes high in the ceiling, hanging. And Krishna, he will find all the grinding mortars, all of the boxes, whatever chairs in the house, he would just pile them up. And then he would get as high as he could. And if it was still too high, he would have one, two, or three of his friends standing on each other's shoulders. He would climb on their shoulders. And still, if it was too high, he would take a stick and he would poke the bottom of the pot, and all the butter and yogurt would fall to the ground, and then they would have a big festival, eating it, throwing it, feeding it to monkeys. Incomplete mess. Nothing is left. And at times when we really make an effort to hide our butter and yogurt, if somehow or other Krishna cannot find it, you may think, now how can he make a mess? Then he and his friends would pass urine on our floor.
Now that might sound like an ordinary child to you. This is the divine Leela of the Lord. Of course, when mighty demons like Putana, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Vatsasura, Vakasura, when they would come to Vrindavan, Krishna would easily destroy them. He would easily kill them, just to show he's not an ordinary boy.
You see, for the devotees, they take the greatest pleasure when Krishna appears like an ordinary child. Because when he's killing the mighty demons, all you could do is watch him with awe and reverence and say, "God is great." But when he's appearing like an ordinary child, the devotees, they can embrace him. They could love him like a mother, like a friend, like a child. In this way, Krishna facilitates deeper and more intimate loving reciprocation when he appears as an ordinary child. When Krishna was very young at the Brahmanda Ghat, his friends played with him, and when they returned to their home, the friends said to Mother Yashoda, and the friends were headed by Balaram, that your son, Krishna, he has eaten dirt. Mother Yashoda, she said, "Krishna, why you have eaten dirt?" Krishna said, "No, Mother, I have not eaten dirt." Balaram, "Krishna, he ate dirt, we saw him." And all the friends behind Balaram were saying, "Yes, yes, he ate dirt." And Krishna said, "No, I didn't eat dirt." And Krishna's friends, they were all saying, "He didn't eat dirt." You see, when they would play, Krishna would have one side and Balaram on the other, and they would have their friends, and they would play against each other. Krishna said, "Balaram's side, they lost the game today. They are very angry with me. They're trying to get me in trouble. I did not eat the dirt."
Balaram said, "Mother Yashoda, he ate the dirt."
Mother Yashoda, very worried. "If you eat dirt, you will get sick. If you get sick, you may die. And if you die, I will die, because I cannot live without you. You are my life, my soul. You are everything. You are my child."
It is a great mystery, even today. Did he eat dirt or not? How many think he did eat dirt? Raise your hand. How many think he didn't? You are a very careful audience. I can see you are very cautious. You do not want to offend Balaram or Krishna. If you say he did eat dirt, Balaram will be very angry. Why? You think I'm a liar? And if you say he did eat dirt, Krishna will say, why you are trying to get me in trouble? What kind of devotee are you of mine? But Mother Yashoda, her parental affection, she was really concerned. So Krishna said, all right, then you look in my mouth. Do you see if it is dirty? She looked in his mouth. His mouth was only this big. He was just a little baby. Not a baby, but just a little above baby age. Huh? He was Komara age. Ah. When she looked in that beautiful little lotus mouth, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. She saw all the universes, and all the planets with all the universes, and all the human beings, and all the demigods, and all the mountains, and all the rivers, and all the trees. She saw the entire existence right before her eyes within the mouth of Krishna, child Gopal. She even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She was struck with wonder. She was thinking, my God, this is not my son. This is the father, the master of all universes. This is Jagat Purusha. Jagat Guru, Krishna, Bhagwan. She became very much afraid. With folded hands, she began to tremble and offer prayers. My dear Lord, O master of all creation, please forgive me. I have mistaken you to be my child. Sometimes I chastised you. Sometimes I spanked you. Sometimes I threatened you with a stick. I've been thinking if I don't feed you, you die. What offensive things I have done. Please forgive me. When Krishna saw his mother like this, he was not very pleased. Because there was no intimacy in this love. So he closed his mouth and he smiled. And his smile was so beautiful that when he smiled at Mother Yashoda, her parental affection, completely like an ocean, just overwhelmed and drowned out all other ideas or conceptions that she had of Krishna. And she was thinking, ah, my little child, please drink the milk from my body and be nourished. And then Krishna was very happy. So you see, some people, even to this day, even though Krishna did so many wonderful things, because in order to relate intimacy with his pure devotees, he appeared very much like an ordinary little mischievous child. People take him to be an ordinary man. Even to this day, especially in India, how many people have such a mistaken material conception of Krishna? I met one scholar who was a teacher of Hinduism in a college in India. And he said to me with all authority, at least he thought he said it with all authority, say, why you worship Krishna? Certainly he was very powerful and he was a very good politician. But he also made a lot of mistakes. Huh? He shouldn't have told Arjuna to fight this war. It was all politics. Huh? What to speak of dancing with gopis? Huh? To this day, people ask why Krishna danced with gopis, other men's wives. He stole their clothes and ran up a tree. What kind of god is this? They take Krishna to be ordinary man. Arjuna knew this. Krishna says in Gita, Abhajananti mamudha manusim tanamashita param bhavama jananto mama bhuta maheshwara. This means fools deride me. They think I'm an ordinary human being. when in actuality I am the controller, the maintainer, the annihilator. I am the imperishable source of everything. I am infallible, achyuta. So therefore, to establish the supreme position of Krishna beyond doubt in anyone who has any trace of sincerity in their heart, Arjuna asked Krishna, please manifest your universal form. Arjuna also knew that there would be many rogues who have some mystic power, who can perform some magic tricks, who declare to be God. Especially Kali Yuga was just about to come when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So Arjuna wanted to set a standard. Anyone who declares to be God, let him show his universal form. When Krishna revealed his universal form to Arjuna, my God, what Arjuna saw. Thousands and thousands and thousands of heads and faces and hands and legs. He saw all living beings running into the mouth of his universal form and being gnashed by his teeth. And then the Virat Rupa spoke, the time I am devouring everything and everyone. Arjuna could not bear seeing this form. Therefore he asked Krishna, please be my friend again. I cannot be your friend. There can be no love with the universal form. Similarly, the Brahman, the impersonal manifestation of Krishna, there can be no love between the living entity and the Brahma Jyoti. Love can only exist between the living entity and the personal form of God, Bhagwan. Therefore, Krishna again manifested his beautiful personal two-armed form to Arjuna. And here Arjuna is explaining that Lord Krishna, according to how one approaches you, you reveal yourself. The devotees, everything you do is all attractive to them. Everything you do melts their hearts. Machchita makita prana bodhyanta parasparam. The devotees, their only joy and pleasure in life is hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in his beautiful lila. The Lord manifests so many wonderful pastimes just to keep our mind constantly engrossed in thinking of him. Because the Lord is absolute. When we think of Krishna, we are with Krishna in full. So Arjuna is saying that all the devotees, with joy in chanting your names and their hearts, machchita makita prana bodhyanta, personal two-armed form to Arjuna. And here Arjuna is explaining that Lord Krishna, according to how one approaches you, you reveal yourself. The devotees, everything you do is all attractive to them. Everything you do melts their hearts. Machchita makita prana bodhyanta parasparam. The devotees, their only joy and pleasure in life is hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in his beautiful lila. The Lord manifests so many wonderful pastimes just to keep our mind constantly engrossed in thinking of him. Because the Lord is absolute. When we think of Krishna, we are with Krishna in full. So Arjuna is saying that all the devotees, they take the greatest joy in chanting your names and hearing your glories. But the demons, they are very afraid of you. They hate to hear your name. They hate to hear your glory. Because when one accepts the supreme position of Krishna, one has no other alternative except to surrender. Therefore, to justify their own independence, living their own rebellious way of life, they minimize Krishna. They say there is no God. Or if there is a God, he's impotent. For I am God, so ultimately I can do whatever I want. Huh? If you truly, from the heart, accept Krishna as God, you must surrender. Therefore, there are so many philosophies today with some other idea except Krishna's. It is all different ways of trying to escape from Krishna. Our Guru Maharaj used the example that a cat is a cat. When a cat is holding its kitten in its mouth, the kitten is thinking, how nice, I am in the protective mouth of my beloved mother. Why? Because the kitten has taken shelter of the cat. Because the kitten has befriended the cat. Now the rat is always fearful of the cat. The rat is the enemy of the cat. Therefore, when the rat is in the same mouth of the same cat, the rat sees the cat as dead. God is everything and God is everywhere through his energies. You cannot escape from God. You are always in the mouth of God. Arjuna saw all living entities being gnashed by the teeth of the universal form, in the form of time. If you surrender to Krishna, if you take joy in hearing his pastimes and live according to his divine will, actually, you cannot escape the mouth of Krishna. But you will be like the kitten, and Krishna will reveal himself to you as the most beloved source of all beauty and joy. But if you want to maintain your rebellious attitude against God, your separate interests away from God, you're in the same mouth, but you become like the rat. You will see Krishna will appear before you as death personified in the form of time. How much people in this world are afraid of death? Being afraid of death means being afraid of God. Because Krishna says, I am death personified. The devotees of the Lord, they are not afraid of death. They are not afraid of anything because they know that Krishna, they are in Krishna's mouth. They are like that protective kitten. They see the love of God everywhere. They feel the protection of God everywhere. They know that death is only Krishna opening the door to the spiritual world for his devotee. But for one who does not have that faith, who does not have that devotion, they see death as the end, the cruel end of everything. So ultimately, we have to meet Krishna. The question is, will we be the kitten or the rat? That is our only choice. Cannot escape his mouth, but you can love him. And how to love him, how to develop that dependent reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is very simple. by hearing his glories, by praising his glories, by associating with his devotees, and by chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Human life is meant to revive our love for God, to put aside all of our independent interests and realize that we are eternally his servant, and to organize our lives in such a way that everything we do and everyone we associate with, God is in the center, God is the goal. Krishna's love is my purpose. And by this simple formula, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, of remembering Krishna by hearing his glories, by chanting his name, by serving his associates, we can become like Arjuna. We can become Krishna's friends. Otherwise, we remain like Duryodhana, Krishna's competitor. Everything belongs to Krishna. We should not compete over God's property. Simply we accept that I am the servant. Therefore, Arjuna says, O Hrishikesh, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. We are all attached. It's our nature to be attached. We're attached to our wealth, or to our home, or to our wife, or to our children, or to our friends, or to our body, our youth. Everyone is attached. Do not become detached. Real detachment means simply transferring your attachment to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna. Just as a child is attached to its father, Krishna is our father eternally. Become attached. The more we hear about him, the more we glorify him, the more we become attached to him.